we hear Kaviraj Goswami, Chaitanya Charitamritam, and Bahye Vrishajalahoy, Bhitore Anandamoy, Krishna Prema Adbhuta Charit. This peculiar paradox of externally suffering and internally relishing some peculiar type of joy. There he's saying about Krishna Prem and how it relates to separation. That separation translates into hunger or earnestness for connection, or brings about an intensity of remembrance. Sometimes we'll hear, you know, Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, about Smaranam, remembering. But separation will bring about a very intense sort of remembrance. And we hear, as an example, Srila Guru Maharaj is referring to the pastimes of Ramachandra and Sita as given in the Ramayana. Guru Maharaj himself says that he has some special connection with Ramachandra in this sense, that his mother, fearing that there may be some complications in her pregnancy, fearing for the safety of her child, who was Srila Guru Maharaj, she prayed to Ramachandra. It's like when Mahaprabhu is traveling, he goes, Rama, Raghava, when he's saying Krishna, 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 hey. You know, in the latter part of that, it says, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshamam, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Bahimam. Rama, Raghava, Rakshamam, for protection, Raksha. Interestingly, the Guru Maharaj's name later becomes Rakkak, Rakshak, which I rendered as guardian, Bhakti Rakkak, guardian of devotion, and Guru Dev and Guru Maharaj, they approved that. So when Guru Maharaj was born, they gave him the name Ramendra Chandra. His name was Ramendra Chandra Bhattacharya. When he came to Saraswati Thakur, took shelter at the lotus feet of Saraswati Thakur, he changed his name to Ramendra Sundar. And later Ramananda, and then Bhakti Rakkak Sridhar. But Guru Maharaj says in his own play, divine play, pastimes, how he expressed his devotion gradually, you know, like sun rising expression in the world. And Guru Maharaj reminds us, sun already has its position. But from our perspective, we're seeing rising and observing different evolution. But actually, it has a particular position. So does the Supreme Lord, his pastimes, and those of his devotees. So in the case of Guru Maharaj, he says that he likes self-sacrifice and self-giving and that sort of nature. So that he appreciated more and Ramachandra than Krishna. Because he's saying Krishna, he's, you know, an enjoyer and aggressive. He's so different. Really, Krishna is different. his unique among the gods. You know, and there's no one like Krishna. Even all the other avatars agree. You know, he's the central conception of the central conception of the infinite. And so, but Ramachandra is Krishna, but Krishna, like, if Krishna is constrained by moral behavior, Rajniti, the what governs political behavior and being a king and all those things, then it's Krishna, but Krishna constrained in all of these different ways. So Guru Maharaj said he liked those who are self-sacrificing. That means like Ramachandra, Radharani, like that. Then, and Mahaprabhu. But within that, then we can understand also the position of Sita Devi. Because the principal pastime of Ramachandra, as recorded in Valmiki Ramayana, is the kidnapping of Sita, the loss of Sita, and her recovery, and what takes place after that. So, and interestingly, Guru Maharaj says that connecting to the Nisringa Leela and Prahlad Maharaj, that when Nisringadev, when Hiranyakashipu crushes the pillar and Nisringadev comes out, the half man, half lion, and he starts roaring, saying the roar was so frightening that it caused one Brahmin lady to give premature birth to a child. She was like so scared that the baby popped out. And her husband did not like that. And so he said, whoever's the cause of this, and who's the ultimate cause, you know, Anadi, Adi, or Govinda, Sarvaka, but Nisringadev connecting to Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, he said, whoever's the cause of this child being prematurely born like this, I curse you that in a future life you will have experience self-forgetfulness. You'll forget who you are. So Guru Maharaj says, in the pastimes of Ramachandra, it's as if he's forgotten. Who is he? Really, he's Krishna, he's God, he's divinity, but he's forgetful of that. He's behaving like a king, a son, a dutiful son, dharmically, as is expected of him. He never takes advantage of his divinity. So we're told when his father, who has few wives, one of them wants her son to be enthroned as the king of Ayodhya, and her husband owes her a favor. The night before the next day is the coronation. The night before, the day before, she informs the king, she's calling this favor. And what is it? That Ramachandra will have to be banished, exiled to the forest for so many years. This is heartbreaking to the father of Ramachandra. He cannot, and his mother, they cannot, you know, bear the thought of being separated for him for a moment. Ramachandra is extraordinarily beautiful, charming. Again, we have to remember Krishna's reality, the beautiful. Sometimes we hear Rupa Goswami say, you know, the liberated jiva, 50 qualities. Sometimes Guru Maharaj will say executive class jiva, Toshiva, 55. Vishnu 60 qualities, and Krishna 64. But once Guru Maharaj said, Balaram 62 dies for Bhaktivinoda Bhadut Maharaj ki dies. Maharaj, come and join me here. We can both speak some. He's talking a little bit about, and we have little princess here this evening to attend our function.
She's wearing sari over there.
Yes.
She's doing the program. Very enthusiastic.
Yes. So she can hear about the original princess and queen, Sita. So, liberated jivas, 50 qualities, up to executive class, jiva to shiva, 55, Vishnu, 60, we're told Krishna, 64. It's a way of helping us understand something. We shouldn't get so numerical about it. But my point is, Guru Maharaj said, Balaram, 62, Ramachandra, 62. So Ramachandra is incredibly attractive. As we hear, the Dandakaranya Rishis, seeing Ramachandra, they in their hearts, not expressed vocally, but in their hearts, the erotic sentiment is aroused of the divine quality. And Ramachandra, we're told, ek patni, he only has one wife, and these pastimes, and that is Sita. So anyway, that Ramachandra, when he's informed tearfully by his father that on the eve of his coronation, that rather you shall be banished to the forest. We're told that's his duty. He doesn't go, what? It's not like that. He's told, this is your duty now. And he's like, oh, then tell Sita, like, prepare to go. And later we find out, this is the only pastime where Balaram Nityananda is in the junior position. Usually he's the elder brother, like one name, Ramanuja, means the little brother of Rama, Balaram. But in this pastime, he's the younger brother, and he can't contradict the order of his elder brother. If he was the elder brother, he'd say, we're going to fight this. Then it would be another pastime. But instead, Ramachandra says, prepare yourself. You know? And so immediately they give up all their royal paraphernalia. And it's heartbreaking. Ramachandra, Sita. You know, the Ramachandra had won. What type of Kshatriya was he? We're told at her Swayambara, where her husband will be selected. They always have some like giant bow, and that's the test of the valor and heroism of the competing princes. And so most of them, they can't lift the bow. And then, you know, like you try and lift the bow and then fall down, and everyone, they laugh, and the prince goes away with his head in shame. You know, like if someone can budge it, they're like, whoa, you know. When Ramachandra comes, he lifts up the bow. It's the way an elephant picks up like a sugar cane. And it said it would take 300 men, normal men or strong men, to lift this bow. Ramachandra picks up the bow, strings the bow, and then snaps it in half. You know, and they go, wow. They can understand, you know, he is the personality of Godhead. So that he has that type of strength, but now he's telling, all right, our duty is to immediately go to the forest. His brother, in these pastimes, there's, you know, Bharat, Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughna. When his brother is to be enthroned, he can't bring himself to do this. So what he does, we're told, he takes the padukas, the wooden shoes of Ramachandra, puts them on the throne. And he becomes like a a sage with matted locks, and he's not wearing royal paraphernalia or anything. He's representing some surrogate position. As far as he's concerned, the padukas, the shoes of Ramachandra, that's Ramachandra, and he's the king. That's how Bharat is. You know. When they finally do are reunited, just tears are streaming from his eyes when Ramachandra comes back with matted locks after the war, and a very, you know, tearful. We're told one time a shadow from the sky went over the padukas, the shoes of Ramachandra. So Bharat had them shoot whatever that is that's flying over, they shoot it down. Turns out it's Hanuman. But they're thinking, yeah, they thought of like some enemy, you know, flying in the sky. But anyway, so, and Sita, her sacrifice exceeds that of all. And we know they're in the forest, and somehow Ravana, against all good advice, he is enamored by Sita and schemes to kidnap her. And we're told, it's funny in the, how much of this is part of Indian culture, like Sorokin, the sociologist, and described India as an ideational culture. So how far do these things influence any life? In Bengal, if you want to keep like ants and things out of your kitchen, you go to the store and you buy, what are they called? Lakshman Rekha. Right? So it's this chalk that you, wherever you put it, they say, you know, the ants, and they won't cross this line. You understand? Like, this is what you buy at the store now for the Lakshman Rekha, or Lakhan, they would say. You know, and what it means is when Mahi Ravana and different black magicians that in the service of Ravana to try and kidnap Sita, they need to get Ramachandra away and Lakshman away from Sita. They're guarding her in the forest. And at one point when Ramachandra goes to investigate something, he tells Lakshman, under no circumstances are you to abandon Sita. You're her guard. Under no matter what happens, do not do that. So what happens is Mahi Ravana, he's a master of disguise and deception. He mimics the voice of Ramachandra. He's saying, Lakshman, help me! Lakshman, help! Help! And it's perfectly Ramachandra. And Lakshman's torn, like, what to do? And so what he, with his rekha, this magic line, he draws a circle around Sita and tells her, as long as you don't cross this line, then no one can cross this line and take you. So if you stay within this circle, you'll be safe. I have to go save my brother. You know? So he goes off to see Ramachandra. Then when they're told Marichi, he comes as a fawn, a deer, but a fawn, a baby deer, who looks so cute, and he's like dancing around. And Sita waiting, she's, you know, alone, and in the forest sees this cute little baby deer, and he like coming up, then running away, trying to get her to cross the line if she will step outside that protective circle. And at last, and out of affection and wanting to protect the deer, she crosses that line, and then they've got her. And we're told when Ravana's flying, and you know, he has this airplane in the sky, and he's kidnapped Sita, flying back to Sri Lanka, that Sita, she's like sliding bangles off of her arm, jewelry from her ankles, whatever jewelry she has, she's leaving a trail as they go in the sky, so that later, when Ramachandra and Lakshman with Sugriva and Hanuman, and they're making a strategy to rescue Sita, but they don't know where she is at the time, they find this trail of jewelry in the forest. And at one point, Ramachandra, this tells you, gives you a key to like the qualities of those involved in these pastimes. At one point, Ramachandra very excitedly tells Lakshman, like, don't you recognize this is Sita's jewelry? Like, that's one of her bangles, and this, you know, here's an earring. And Lakshman says, I don't recognize any of those things, because he had never looked above her ankle. He said, so these things that you're saying, shouldn't I I've never seen them. So to spell this out, he is in the presence of who is, we can say, the most beautiful woman within the universe, beyond the universe. And he has never looked above her ankle. So there's no, not even a remote trace amount of exploiting tendency involved there. And, but still, that we're told when Mahaprabhu's touring South India, he meets this one Ram Bhakta who's very upset. He's fasting, and Mahaprabhu wants to know why. And he said, he cannot accept, it's breaking his heart, that Ravana has kidnapped Sita. This shows the kind of devotion that someone is capable of having. He can't bear this thought. It's in the Ramayana. He faithfully hears these things. He cannot digest this. So we're told Mahaprabhu on his tour, he comes to a temple where they have a copy of the Kurma Purana. And there are some slokas that say, actually, what happened was a Maya Sita was generated, perhaps by Agni, the fire god. So that the original Sita, she's in, you know, a divine place. And this Maya Sita, a shadow representation of who she is, that's who Ravana has kidnapped. And there it's mentioned, a Prakrita Deho, that she had. So, and Mahaprabhu makes the point, and Guru Maharaj reiterates this point. He's saying, he can't even see her form, the demon Ravana. He can't even see Sita. As we were saying before the other day, that just to perform austerities, lifetime after lifetime, to get the opportunity to see Krishna, have Krishna darshan, doesn't mean that you will recognize Krishna. And Chakravarti Thakur mentions that tailor with Kamsa and others. Saying because you have to have devotion to see Krishna. So you have to have devotion to see Sita. So Ravana, what to speak of touch her, he can't even see her divine form. So Mahaprabhu, when he comes back, he took a page, they make a copy, he takes the original page and shows it to that devotee. Shows how merciful is Mahaprabhu. And he's showing, see, he didn't touch actual Sita. And the man becomes very happy and pleased for that. So, anyway, we know that finally Ramachandra, he assembles his army. They go to the southern tip of India. Told for 3 days he's waiting for the ocean personified to come. Guru Maharaj segues from that to the subjective evolution of consciousness and how the Vedic rishis see everything as being personal. So he's waiting for the ocean personified, who doesn't come. So Ramachandra becomes angry. Told that he looks toward the ocean. The heat generated from his eyes starts making the temperature rise to like a boiling point. All the living entities in the ocean, they're all like praying to the ocean personified, like to help them. He appears before Ramachandra and says, I didn't know who you were. You know, I didn't recognize you. But this is interesting as well. He says, after Ramachandra explains the situation, he's saying, you're the omnipotent Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can do whatever you desire. He's saying, but just for your glories, for your pastimes, if you would build a bridge, if you would construct a bridge, just for a glorious pastime. Right? So once when the temple in Lakta was being constructed, Vijayaraman was showing, there are those bricks there, the gray bricks. So there was a puddle of water. And these are like, they're very light bricks. And Vijay wanted to show me their quality. So he like put one of the bricks on the water and it was floating. And at the time I was reading the Ramayana. Because when they try to build a bridge, they're taking Hanuman, they're clipping mountain peaks and, you know, he has extraordinary capacities, bringing them to the ocean. And everyone who's contributing to the building of the bridge, they're chanting Ram Nam. They go like, Ram, Ram, Ram. And then whatever they put into the water, it floats. And they say at one point, Ramachandra, he's watching this. And then he goes down and like, he takes a brick and it sinks. And they tell him, you have to chant Ram Nam. He's like, oh. So it's another to show how potent is the name of the Lord. Sometimes it's even more potent than the Lord himself. But Vijay put that brick on the water and it was floating. So, and we're told Hanuman, who's a super servitor, you know, he's taking mountain peaks. And then at the same time, there are these little squirrels. And the squirrels with their paws, they're carrying some sand and like throwing that, you know. And Hanuman's bringing mountain peaks and he's dodging these squirrels and it's annoying him. And at one point he kicks one of them accidentally and knocked him unconscious, but is like a little annoyed also. And Ramachandra picks up the squirrel and he's like petting the squirrel and he says, Hanuman, you know, you're a super servitor, but they're also serving according to their capacity. And that's, I accept that. As I accept what you can do, I'm accepting their service. Right? Just like you see here on the floor, the grout, what's in between the tiles, it also has its place. So they're putting a little bit of, you know, sand. It's not just meaningless. It's actually contributing. And as Ramachandra's petting that squirrel, the squirrel wakes up, you know, and sees, oh, you know, my worshipable Lord, Ramachandra. And when you're in India, and still you see these squirrels, it looks like they have like green stripes on their back. They say from the, huh? Chipmunks, there you go. It looks like a green stripe from the touch of Ramachandra, his divine hand. And I remember once we were taking prasadam with Gurudev and it was mango season and he said, we're eating these mangoes. He said, these mangoes are so good, you will forget everything. And then he told this story. He said, when Hanuman went first on his reconnaissance mission to Sri Lanka, he leapt 800 miles, 100 yojanas. He's tired, hungry, and at this point, mangoes only existed in Sri Lanka. So he wanders into a mango grove, and he starts eating these mangoes. Remember, he's on a reconnaissance mission to find Sita and develop some strategy to recover her. But he's in the mango grove and he's eating these mangoes and becoming like madly intoxicated with their divine taste. And also, it's put him in a very good mood. He is spitting the seeds of the mangoes out, and they're going 800 miles back to India. They're landing in different parts of India. That's the legend of how mangoes came to India. And we're fortunate here that maybe some of those seeds went all the way to Thailand. Anyway, so while in that mango grove, momentarily, he forgot about his mission. So Gurudev said, these mangoes are so good, you will forget everything. But ultimately, Ramachandra with Hanuman, Sugriva, and Lakshman, and the others, Guru Maharaj gave an example of sahajyaism and imitation in this Mahi Ravana, how he can impersonate others. At one point, when Hanuman, he knows, you know, all the mystic perfections like anima, mahima, prapti, etc. He makes himself so large, his tail is like a fortress for Ram and Lakshman. And Bibhishan, who's Ravana's brother, but who switched sides, was accused at one point of being a double agent. That's where this famous verse comes, where Ramachandra said, "Once I accept someone, it's forever." Because some devotees were suspicious of him. They said, "Well, he was Ravana's brother. How do we know we can trust him?" And Ramachandra said, "No, you don't understand. Once I accept someone, that's forever." That sloka is in the Prapanna Jivanamritam. Anyway, Bibhishan's telling Hanuman, under no circumstances are you, don't trust anybody who comes here. Just protect, you know, Ram and Lakshman. They're in a very vulnerable position right now. You're like, got it, yeah. All right. So first comes, you know, Kosalya. I want to see my son, please. You know, no, big, get out. You know, he's like, ha-ha. You know, Bibhishan comes later. Everything's okay. Yes, they can't fool me. You know, then Dasharatha, if I can just see my son, just to see that he's okay, let me see him, please. You know, get out. You know, and each time Mahi Ravana, he's donning these disguises, Bibhishan comes here, everything's all right, Hanuman? Yes, everything's good. Nobody can fool me. You know. Then Mahi Ravana thinks, oh, I know what to do. He comes as Bibhishan. Hanuman, are they safe? Yes, they're safe. No, but are you sure they're safe? How long has it been? It's been some time. Are you sure, absolutely sure that they're safe? He goes, go see for yourself. Guru Maharaj said, beware of imitation. So, but ultimately they recover Sita. It says when Ramachandra, one arrow killed Ravan from the bow of Ramachandra. One arrow. In the second canto, it's very beautifully described. It's saying, with the ping of his bow and the sound of the arrow, his life ended. The ten-headed Dashgreve Ravan dropped dead on the battlefield. But in the Bhagavatam it says, he fell out of his, having been shot and the heart fell out of his airplane from the sky. It said, just the way when your pious credits are exhausted and you fall down from the heavenly planets. They took the opportunity to add that bit of, you know. Yeah. And so then you think, and I remember when I was reading this book, I think, wow, now it's really going to be happy. And then Sita and Ramachandra, they go back to Ayodhya, showers of flowers from heaven. The people are dancing. There's this giant celebration. And Ramachandra meets with Bharat and they embrace and they're shedding tears. And Bharat comes out with the shoes to show he's been faithful to him all the time. And just, it's, there's so much joy. And you're thinking, oh, and now Sita and Ram, they're once again united. And it's like building up, making you happier and happier and more joyful. Until Ramachandra decides to go out in the kingdom in disguise one day and just see what the citizens think about him. And one man's wife, who'd been unchaste, said to his wife, he said, I can't accept you. You can't live in this house anymore. Saying, maybe that Ramachandra, he might be that kind of man who, after his wife lives in the house of another man for 1 year, can take her around. I'm not like that. And he's a low-class man. Ramachandra overhears this man speaking like that. Maybe that Ramachandra, he's like that. I'm not like that. So get out. So then Ramachandra, constraining him or ruling him is this dharmic position of the ideal king. So even though it's heartbreaking for him, and what to speak of his wife, he has to banish Sita from the kingdom. And then you find out, like, this is a heartbreaking moment. Then you find out, on top of it all, she's pregnant. So she has to be banished from the kingdom. She goes to live in the ashram of Valmiki. And you're thinking, what kind of book is this? What kind of story? When I read this part, I had to like walk around the block a few times. I was saying, like, I don't like the Ramayana. I don't like these pastimes. Who wrote this book? What are they doing? You know, I thought, something's very wrong here. And then I heard Guru Maharaj say, Ramachandra, he's putting his own happiness, he's sacrificing his own happiness for the happiness of others. And then one of my old friends said to me, but, like with a little tear in the eye, but not for Sita. What about her happiness? And it took me a while to think of what to say, you know, like a few months. I thought, therefore she's more exalted. Her sacrifice is even greater. So it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, the verse that applies to Mahaprabhu and Ramachandra, Tyaktva Sudushtaja Sharepshita Raja Lakshman, Dharmista Arja Vachasa Jadagada Ranyam, Mayam Ritam Doita Iksam Anvadavad Bande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. So Sita, she gets some news. She gives birth to twins, Love and Kush. And she gets some news that when there's some yajna being performed, that Ramachandra makes a golden Sita. Because the king, his wife, should be at his side when they perform a Vedic ceremony or ritual. So he made a golden Sita and she's by his side. And then she thinks, I may have been banished from the kingdom, but I wasn't banished from his heart. So she's thinking, even though our physical proximity is not there, I'm still in his heart. And she's very happy with that. But cannot return. We're told the earth opens up where she came from originally. When Janak Maharaj was plowing, the earth opened, the baby girl came. Now the earth opened again, and she's, you know, gone to her own abode. And later, so for 13,000 years, Ramachandra is going on. And later, with her on a divine airplane, they take the whole of Ayodhya back to the original Ayodhya, or showing that this was that. So the extremes of pain, of separation, is there in these pastimes. As Guru Maharaj said, you know, tears are streaming from the eyes, but one can't stop reading. The story is so compelling. And that's the point, that in separation, That after all, the way this story moves, just to say in summary, as after you've become attached to them by hearing about them, and you're sharing in the joy of their union again, that they're separated breaks your heart open and fills it with some sort of divine substance. Then you can understand the genius, the divine genius of this work to make everyone attached, break their hearts open, and then fill them with this ecstatic joy. So, Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you can say a few words about Ramachandra.
Jai Shri Ram. Well, Maharaj is greatly describing the unique character of Lord Ramachandra, and of course, we can also understand this is divine pastimes and drama. So to highlight the character, the main character, you always need to have a great apposition, as well as a great devotees around. And what to think, speak about us, who's naturally hard going towards, you know, these pastimes. Someone like Nityananda Prabhu, he would spend his days in Eka Chakra playing those pastimes again.
With his friends.
Right, and one time, making that pastime where he's got killed by, not killed.
He's unconscious.
He's unconscious from Indrajit weapon, and, you know, Hanuman is supposed to bring the herbs, and this whole thing is, so he fell as a little boy, and he's so much immersed in those pastimes so that he's just totally observing Ramayana. Totally observant mood of his previous life, actually.
Yeah.
His own character. He's himself, but different self. Just quite often, we want to remember our pastimes or the moments with our beloved or the friends, and that's...
Or childhood.
Yes, and that's how we want to go on for some time. We can't admit reality. So, in being God, it's possible for you. So, emerging to this pastime, he is bewildering everybody else, and then somebody say, well, isn't that, he didn't die. He actually told us, you know, the children, to continue the play.
Yes.
And then, like, somebody say, well, let's continue play. And everybody witnessed this amazing children pastime. But one thing we should say that, see, I thought of that for some time, why Indian drama is kind of so, I wouldn't say primitive, but it's kind of like simple.
It's archetypal.
Right. See, we...
It is the original archetype.
We as the slaves of Hollywood, we need a screen. We need like super realistic appearance of drama on screen. That's what we want, like the Lord of the Rings. But for some reason, every time we would look at the film and say, well, it's good, it's close. But then we say, yo, but book was better. And that was like my thinking. Well, it seems like we want to take the book and make as best as possible. But for some reason, consciousness has its own quality to kind of like restore right. Your own feelings. That's why the power of book is so strong. So if you look at the Indian
which
art,
is sound. It's right, that right. Tale that was a Shabda Brahma story right. Recorded in a book form.
Right. So going back to that original end of this dramatic story when Sita were kicked out of palace and Ramachandra, he's like so in mad love, and they say, well...
Like, you know, an attached man to
right.
His wife.
Like, you need to make a sacrifice because you've killed Ravana, and Ravana is a Brahman by descent. He's not just a demon, he's also a Brahminical person. So, you know, after killing so many great, and specifically Brahman, you have to make sacrifice to bring the harmony. So Ramachandra say, well, how can I make a sacrifice? I don't have a wife. Well, that's okay. According to the Shastra, we can make a golden
Yagyasita.
Golden figure of your wife, and at the time of sacrifice, she'll be there. So the part is, not only it's become one Yagyasita, there were thousands of them. And all of them were equal to Sita, and they said, Master, we're here for your service. But interesting what Maharaj said, love to one, is that what Shakespeare and all the great classics are putting. So in Ramachandra case, he's even rejecting the avatars of Sita.
But he told them, right, when I appear as Krishna,
right,
then that'll be fulfilled. But still, I only have one wife, Ekpatni. Right.
So in Garga Samhita, there are mentions women of Mithila, women of Ayodhya,
the Dandakaranya Rishis,
Veda Stuti,
some apsaras from heaven,
personified Vedas. Yeah. So just think of this, all of them like so great. But Ramachandra said, okay, well, in this life I cannot accept you, but after millions of lives, I'm giving you blessing to become close to me, my paramour lovers.
They become gopis.
Yes.
It's like beyond.
Right. So one thing we can say is like how much this Leela connected with like Nitanda Prabhu, with Balaram, the Yagya Sitas. But going back in a further way, seeing when she's delivering kids, as a mother, she's not telling them who's their father. And what she does is she's explaining them, oh, we're some kind of forest people. We live with Valmiki ashram. And Valmiki knows everything. She asks him, Valmiki, please don't tell them Ramachandra is their father. Please don't tell them the story where he kicked me out of, exiled me out of palace. So what she does is she's like unconditionally glorify Ramachandra. So Love and Kush, they become the great musicians and great chanters of Ramayana Leela. So one day, they're kind of escaping ashram and going to see Ayodhya, the town. And they're like these beautiful young boys with amazing musical and poetic skills. So they're coming to the market and they start performing. And what do? They do Ramayana.
Yeah.
And all the people crying. Like, oh my God. And there's somebody say, well, we got to take this artist to the Ram, you know. Like, so, and Ram is like totally depressed. He's like, he can't see the world. He exiles Sita. He's in a deep grief of separation. You know, he owes guys like, you know, Hanuman coming time to time, like, are we going to war? You know, everybody's like, you know, like those bats.
Right.
Those who survive. All they do, like, they talk about Ramayana, but it's, you know, it's not the same. So finally, these two young boys are coming to the palace, and all the vets from Ramayana are coming. And like, oh, we've heard these guys can sing Ramayana. You know, how? And they start expressing Ramayana in the most amazing musical, poetical form. And everybody's like crying. Everybody's like, boys, where did you, like, you know, it's the best story I ever heard. I've been there, but the way you tell this story, that moves me. I start crying. I mean, that's another explanation. What is the power of Leela? See, because according to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Leela, it's not something, he said, it's going on in the hearts of devotees.
Right.
So when we say, oh, you know, what is the Leela? Is that in the spiritual world? Or like, can we have a VR set or full dome or, you know, internet? How do we connect? It's the heart adjustment. So, Nama Rupa Guna Leela. So, one of the highest stage of connecting with Holy Name, it's Leela. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained, Leela is not something historical or imaginary.
Neti hasi ni kalpanam.
Yeah, so it's something that rather going through different stages on the highest level of Krishna consciousness, you just connect online.
It's going on now.
Right. So that's
somewhere in some universe, all these pastimes are going on.
That's the true thing. So what Ram hearing about Ram Leela, that's another thing. Like Ram has to write the Ram name, Ram Nam. He has to hear about Ram Leela, from who he's supposed to hear, who is the bona fide disciple of Valmiki Muni, who is the great authentic teller of the Ramayana, and you know, so the end is amazing. But then finally, Ram is like, "Oh, kids, I can't. How can I reward you?" And they say, "Only one reward we need is let us have the darshan of Sita." And he's like, "Oh my God!" And he said, "You can't do it." They say, "Like why?" Because they haven't heard the story that he
that
took
part.
Her out. He said, "Because I had to chase her out to the forest." And they said, "You have to chase her out in the forest? What kind of monster you are?" And they're like cursing him, and they're going back, totally disappointed. They think, "Oh, you know, all we heard from our mother, like, you know, about this glory of this proper king. He has no heart." And there's so many stories in the way. Finally, Hanuman start trying to stop them, and they start fighting Hanuman. And Hanuman is like, first time he opposing their mantras is bounding Hanuman. You know, they're defeating Hanuman. So it's kind of like, and then finally Hanuman saying like to Ram, like, "I can't defeat these guys. There's got to be something connection with you." So anyway, after all, Sita appear. And however this love story is dramatic, Ramachandra cannot accept her. Then she's just prayed to Bhumi, "Oh, please accept me." And the earth swallows Sita. She's like, disappear. Which actually, one of the, I don't remember who said that, but if you can ever think about love in this world, first of all, it's the reflection of divinity. Second of all, that type of love cannot be achieved between men and women. That's another meaning of that story. So the divine love, it's constantly going, but physical, like mundane love, cannot be achieved. So that's highlighting pastime at the same time showing, well, what you're experiencing in this world is shadow. Like, everybody wants to be the hero. Everybody wants to, like, play, you know, Warcraft, this, that, you know, but the good question is, like, who are we fighting for? What are we fighting for? Like, is that fight, is that violence, is worth, like, are we fighting for, like, because everybody tells you, "Oh, we're fighting for God," you know, like, you know, we're like, we're fighting misconception. But Saraswati Thakur said, in Kali Yuga, the best fight is kirtan. Previously, you could fight with, like, demons and asuras, and one interesting moment, when Ravan came to Marichi and said, "You have to become a deer." Ravan's like big godfather, big mafia guy. And Marichi, he's telling, he said, "I cannot tell you no." Ravan's very happy. He said, "Yes, my friend Marichi, I know you're not going to deny me." But Marichi say, "Don't think I don't understand. If I tell no, you're going to kill me. No doubt, I know. If I'll just tell you no, no kill. I know Ram is going to kill me. But you know what? Considering who to be killed by, I'm choosing to be killed by Ravan and he become a golden deer." But he knew he's not going to make it. So then, you know, Ravana is like talking, "Why do you think this Raman is so strong?" Then Marichi say, "Look, when Raman Lakshman were like 14 years old and they got, you know, trained by Vasishta, I was trying to, you know, peace in their sacrifice and they shot me with an arrow and I fly into the ocean for like millions of yojanas. And at that time they were like babies. Now they're growing men. I wouldn't see anybody in this world who can defeat them." He say, "Well, but give me some other reasons." So finally, a reason coming that Ram is Supreme Personality of God. And when Ravana trying to kidnap Sita, you know, he had innumerable meetings with relatives and, you know, like his sons and advisors and grandfather, and everybody explained to him, like, "Look, Ravana, you achieve everything. You conquer the gods and, you know, you've got an amazing, you build an amazing civilization. But it seems like your crazy attempt for lust is going to ruin the whole race of Rakshasas. So it's an amazing thing when Ravana traveling to Mahiravana, to Bali, you know, his travels and talks. It's an amazing when he comes to talk to Bali because he's his grandfather. And he tell him, like, you never visit me before. Like, do you understand? I know we're relatives, but you never visit me before. There's got to be some good reason why. And he said, yes, you know, I want to, like, defeat this Ramachandra. And then Maharaj told the story. He said, oh, you want to defeat Ramachandra. So why don't you come with me in the garden? You, like, you think you can defeat Ramachandra. You're a great guy. You don't understand who Ramachandra. Why don't you leave this ring? And he see like large golden ring, and Ravana like, okay, I can take any weight. Like, see how strong I am. And he's taking like, and he can't even move. He said, you see, you can't even move this ring. Do you know this is just earring of Hiranyaksha, who's got killed by Vishnu? What's your capacity?
You tell me. Told that. Ravana couldn't get past the Bali Maharaj's guard.
Right.
He's after he terrorized everyone in the universe. All the guard of Bali Maharaj gave Ravana a beating. So when he finally let him in, Ravana's asking Bali Maharaj, like, "Who's the guard?" The guard is Vamandev, not as a dwarf. He became the guard of Bali Maharaj.
Give me phone of your security company. So anyway, there's so many great things. And one thing we can say, Ravana, he has innumerous ways. Like, he's been told thousands of times by everybody, you should not mess with Sita. You have to release Sita. Don't mess with Ram.
That's where that saying comes from, when
right.
He's not totally dead yet. He's lying, dying on the battlefield. And Ramachandra, unexpectedly, surprisingly, tells Lakshman to go get some advice from him. So anything like, why should he get advice from Ravana? But he's following Ram's order, and he goes to his head, like, to hear from him speak. And Ramachandra says, no, that's not how you get, you sit at the feet. The guru speaks, you sit at the feet of the guru. So then Lakshman goes and sits at the feet of Ravana and asks his advice. And he says those words, Subhasha Shigram Asubha Kalohanam, that which is auspicious, you should do without hesitation immediately. And that which is inauspicious, you should delay, delay, delay. And he said, just like I had so many good programs, the Mango program, Stairway to Heaven, you know, for Sri Lanka. And I, you know, got distracted. And against all good advice, everyone, my wives, my advisors, my gurus, they told me, do not go against Ramachandra. There'll be an inauspicious outcome. He's saying, but them I didn't listen to. So I hurriedly entered into this. And he said, now look at me. He said, so my advice to you is, that which is auspicious, you should do immediately. And what is inauspicious, you should wait and wait and wait. And that's where Guru Maharaj's extrapolation from there that saved us and will continue to save us and was reiterated by Srila Gurudev so many times, wait and see. And Guru Maharaj would always say like this, he'd say, wait and see what leads to what, which way the divine will move next. All things are not meant to please me, so let us wait and see which way the divine will move. Hare Krishna. And one thing we forgot to say, just for the record, you know, is that they did test Sita, her chastity. The fire is built. Remember the significance of Agni. Because Agni means fire. His wife's name is Svaha Devi. That's why when we do the yoga, you throw in the fire, Svaha. So Svaha Devi is the wife of Agni, the fire god. Anyway, so Sita, she's to walk through the fire to demonstrate her purity. And we see at that point, the Maya Sita is dissolved and the original Sita comes out unscathed and in all her shining glory.
Yes, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.